Nuketown Radioactive, March 25th, 2005. Welcome to Nuketown Radioactive. My name is Ken Newquist, and I'll be your host. This is the third edition of Nuketown Radioactive, and I gotta say, things are going pretty good. I haven't gotten a lot of feedback on it, but I did notice that the podcast got added to the iPodder.net directory, or is it iPodder.org? I guess it's iPodder.org. Anyway, it got added to the directory under sci-fi, which I have to thank Evo from the Dragon Page for doing that, because I was just about to add it, and next thing you know, it's already there. So, pretty cool. Speaking of podcasts, I've recently been listening to a lot of Neil Gorman from Comicology. Neil's podcast, if you haven't listened to it, is really worth stopping by and checking out, particularly if you're a comic book fan. But anyway, recently he's been talking about, in his last podcast, he was talking about the difference between comic book readers and comic book collectors. And personally, I've always considered myself to be both. I love to read my comic books, and then I love to package them away very carefully and make sure they don't suffer any harm. Or at least, well, that's what I used to do. I have to admit, I'm turning into a really bad geek. Back in high school, I treated my comics with a tremendous amount of love and respect. I would read them seated at my desk, and then after finishing each one, I would bag it and file it away in one of the comic book boxes. I would enter it into my paper record, noting all the comic books I had, and I even experimented with a couple of different versions of Overstreet's computerized comic book system, which is basically one huge database, and I think that must have been the beginning of the end, because I never did a really good job of keeping that thing current. But anyway, now as a 33-year-old geek dad, I find my comic books are now part of the decor of my wife's craft room, where she has covered them up with tasteful draperies so that she doesn't have to look at the the indexes of what's in each box. My comics haven't been filed in, 6 months, a year, I don't know. I got a huge stack of them in my gaming room right now. Each title is probably stacked 12 or 14 issues high, which, yeah, that probably amounts to about a year's worth of comic books. The other thing is that I find it's increasingly difficult to actually find time to read the freaking things. So what ends up happening is that, you know, I'm not going to file them because I haven't read them yet, but I end up with these freaking huge stacks of comic books all over the place, which, you know, it's just a constantly evolving, vicious circle of ever greater amounts of comic books that I haven't read that thus have not been filed. So anyway, my previously religious devotion to comic books has turned into something kind of like a benign agnosticism. I'm not about to actually give up my comic books anytime soon, but, you know, if you're going to go with the church analogy, just don't be expecting me to be teaching Sunday school or hosting the after-service coffee and cookies anytime soon. So anyway, I don't feel tremendously bad about this recent slippage in my filing of my comic books, because you know what? DC and Marvel are freaking slacking off too. And comic books are actually their job. This week, kind of inspired by my whole, I'm going to take charge of my comic book collection, and I'm actually going to keep track of what's coming out, and I'm going to try and fill all the holes that I have, I decided I'd go to DC and Marvel's websites and sign up for their newsletters. At which point I discovered, well, let me tell you what I discovered. First of all, I tried to sign up for the DC newsletter and was told, this newsletter is not available to you at this time. What the hell does that mean? I had absolutely no indication of why I was rejected. I tried signing up for it with my work zip code and my home zip code, thinking, I don't know, maybe it's some weird state law thing. But if it is, then both Pennsylvania and New Jersey are totally screwed up. But in any case, I couldn't sign up for the DC newsletter. Marvel was a little better, although their site threw out JavaScript runtime errors every time when I tried to fill out their registration. But their email list was freaking useless, or at least next to useless, because all the features that I wanted, like the weekly on-sale list, Marvel comic announcements and such, were all being flagged as coming soon, which, you know, what the hell is the point of that, you know? you know, don't tell me it's coming soon. Either just don't list it or do list it. And why in 2005 can I not freaking get this? Another thing that really bothers me about Marvel's website is that it's impossible to link to individual titles. You know, sometimes when I'm writing stuff for Nuketown or when I'm posting stuff to my blog or whatever, I want to be able to link to a specific title, like The Uncanny X-Men. And I'd like to be able to have a page dedicated specifically to that title that lists when the title's coming out, maybe a summary of what the upcoming stories are, you know, all that sort of thing. So I can just go there and, as a fan, have everything. Well, of course, Marvel doesn't have anything like that. But the upside is you can vote for the best cover of 2004. Great. Great. I can't figure out which comics I want to be able to buy from their website, but I can vote for the last year's cover. Way to get your priorities straight, guys. All right, enough really ranting about comic books for right now. I do want to talk briefly about the comic books I'm reading. I'm not trying to actually turn this into a comic books podcast, but as I mentioned in one of the earlier podcasts, the thing I'm trying to do with Nuketown Radioactive is talk about some of the stuff that I don't really get a chance to talk to on the website or on my blog, The Atomic Age. And comic books happen to be one of those things that I'm really into, but just never really seem to get covered on Nuketown, except for maybe in an occasional What I'm Reading Now column. But anyway, what I am reading right now as far as comic book goes, and probably my favorite title all around at this moment, is The Astonishing X-Men by Joss Whedon, which is being published by Marvel Comics, of course. Joss is best known for Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, although that's not actually why I got interested in him. The reason why I got interested in him was the Firefly sci-fi series, which lasted all 13 episodes on Fox. But after seeing that series, I've become slavishly devoted to everything that he does. Not so much that I've actually gone back and read all of the Buffy, or watched all of the Buffy stuff, although I'm slowly working my way through it, but I am feverishly looking for any new titles that he's putting out. Anyway, with The Astonishing X-Men, which I understand is going to be a 12-issue run, he's just doing a really great job. He's got sharp and quick dialogue that, if you're a fan of him, you've come to know that from his television series, particularly, I think, in Firefly. And I think that style of quick, snappy back and forth has translated really well to the comic book page. In particular, the little exchanges between Kitty Pryde and the White Queen are just, they're just fantastic. I mean, I sit down, I read the comic book, and as soon as I get to the end, I go right back to the beginning again, and I read it again. And I gotta say that is something that I haven't done with comic books in like 5 or 6 years. I mean, it's really just captivating me. And I think that this title, one of the other things that he did, which I love, is that he brought Colossus back. Colossus is the big steel guy who can, his superpower is to instantly turn himself into a living organic steel. And a couple years back, Marvel, in an attempt to tie up their legacy virus storyline, which was stupid to begin with, but anyway, they killed him off, and they killed him off in such an awkward and just boneheaded way that I was horrendously disappointed. Not so much that I would actually give up on the X-Men titles, because I am a really huge X-Men fanboy, but it was disappointing. So I'm really glad to see that he remedied that particular mistake. But anyway, reading this particular comic book and being on the lookout for all things Whedon-related, I did see that he is supposed to be coming out with a Firefly comic book, or I guess it's going to be a Serenity comic book, over the summer. I think it's coming out in July. And basically, I'm not going to get into all of the details over why you call something Firefly or why you call something Serenity, but basically, Firefly is the comic book series, Firefly is the DVD/television series. Serenity is going to be the movie based on the television series that is coming out, I think, in September. So the comic book, I believe, is going to be called Serenity, and it's going to fill in the gap between the television show and the movie. The reasons why they have to be called something different when they're in TV form and movie is just way too complicated to go into. Let's just say that lawyers got involved, all right? Another comic that I'm really enjoying right now is Conan by Dark Horse. Now, last podcast, I spent a fair amount of time talking about The Coming of Conan the Sumerian, which was a short story collection of Robert E. Howard's Conan short stories that... I think I just really totally bastardized that whole thing, but you know what? I am going to muddle through it. I'm not going to go back and edit that out. Anyway, The Coming of the Conan the Sumerian was a collection of short stories by Robert E. Howard. They're the original Conan stories published back in the 30s. And one of the things I really like about this Conan comic book title is that it really manages to capture the nitty and gritty feel of Howard's vision. Some of the stories are adaptations of existing short stories that Howard wrote, like The God and the Bull, and some of them are entirely new. But in every case, they are really going out of their way to be as... to really hold true to what Howard wrote, as opposed to, say, the Marvel comics, which really just kind of veered off into their own little Conan universe. The third title that I'm really enjoying is Superman Batman. The last few issues really haven't been as great as the earlier ones, but I still love the back and forth between these two very different characters. I mean, Superman is kind of like the archetypal tights and cape superhero. You know, he's got all the superhero powers, you know, the heat vision and the flying and all that. And then you've got Batman, who, yeah, he's got the cape, but he really is relying on his intellect to win his fights. And to watch the mental back and forth that you have in this comic between Superman and Batman, where, you know, Superman is being concerned about Batman's shortcomings, and you know, Batman is sitting there analyzing how Clark is missing the obvious, or, you know, just each of them thinking about their own friendship and having this ongoing hidden dialogue is really, really enjoyable. I mean, it's just been a lot of fun to read, so I would definitely recommend checking it out. If you can, and I don't know if there actually is one out right now, but I would pick up a graphic novel of the first, I think it's the first, like, six or seven issues, which feature Superman and Batman on the run from the law in the form of, let's see, Lex Luthor is president of the United States, so basically he accuses them of being criminals, and they have to be, they're on the run from these various supergroups, and it comes into this massive epic battle between Superman, Batman, and Lex Luthor, and it's really, I think, the best of what this series had to offer. The later books are still enjoyable, and the current cross-time storyline read is fun, but it's just not as good as the first six or seven issues. So on my way into work today, I decided that I would get caught up on some of my podcasts, seeing as how I've got, I think today it took me about 60 minutes to get into work, so that's enough time to listen to probably like two, maybe three podcasts. So anyway, I wanted to get caught up on my podcasts, so the first thing I did was listen to Dragon Page Winging It, number 2 and 3. And when I listened to number 3, I got to hear Myr Lafferty's piece on gaming food, where basically she offers her thoughts on the best food for different games, role-playing games, board games, that sort of thing. And that brought to mind some of my own advice on what foods to use when, which actually, it's more of a warning, which is this. Keep salsa as far away from the gaming table as is humanly possible, because my gaming group has had two incidents of such devastating awfulness that they are now known as the Great Salsa Incidents 1 and 2. The first Great Salsa Incident happened, it's probably like 6 years ago. We were still living at our apartment over on Reeder Street, and I think we had like six or seven guys over. It was a pretty full house, and I also had a Labrador puppy and a whole lot of salsa. And as you might imagine, having that number of guys, plus a Labrador puppy, plus a lot of salsa, is just a recipe for disaster. This particular night, I don't know exactly how it happened. It's kind of all a blur because I was DMing that night. But all I remember is the dog running underneath the table, running underneath the tray table, I think, the tray table falling over, and my friend Bill reaching out to snag the salsa as it was about to go tumbling off of the table. He missed. The salsa splashed onto the floor and just erupted everywhere. So us being, well, guys, We quickly cleaned up the mess, but we didn't actually turn on the lights to do it. There was a little bit of salsa that went out into the hallway, but we honestly believed that we had gotten most of the salsa. And wanting to get back to the game, well, we just jumped back into, you know, playing D&D. So then, my wife Sue comes home, and she comes up the stairs, and she turns on the light, and the true scale of the salsa explosion really became evident. And this is why we ended up calling it the Great Salsa Incident. Because the salsa got onto the floor opposite, onto the wall opposite the gaming table. It got onto the floor. It got onto my wife's my wife's bag for work. It got behind a painting that was on the wall. It got on the ceiling. It just got everywhere. And one of the things that is a hallmark of the Great Salsa Incident is that it always seems to defy physics. We can't understand how, when this salsa went flying off of the gaming table and hit the floor, it was able to get behind the painting that was hanging on the wall without actually getting onto the painting itself. I mean, the only thing I can figure is that when it hit the floor, it blasted upwards, and somehow this salsa just managed to navigate, kind of like the Millennium Falcon through an asteroid field, the narrow crack between the painting and the wall. It was just, we were shocked, and naturally, my wife was rather upset with us for not having cleaned up this particular mess, and for having gotten salsa just freaking everywhere. So, flash forward a couple of years, the wisdom of the ages has led us to having our own dedicated gaming room rather than trying to take over the dining room. And once again, we're gathered around the gaming table, and we've got some salsa. And my friend Jan is holding the salsa jar. It's a really huge salsa jar, filled with homemade salsa that Nate, another of our gamers, had created. So he's sitting there with the jar, and he had poured out some salsa into a little bowl. He's got this jar in one hand, which was the beginning of the end. He's holding this huge jar in one hand, and he's trying to screw the top, the lid back onto it. Well, he drops the jar, which falls onto his little bowl, which sends the salsa flying everywhere across the gaming room. And in true Great Salsa Incident, and to be true to the physics of a Great Salsa Incident, the salsa goes flying at my friend Damon. It goes behind his glasses and manages to get his eye without actually hitting him in the glasses. The salsa goes splashing onto the maps, the nice campaign cartographer pro maps I had up on the wall. It splattered all across the ceiling, and we hadn't realized the full scale of this until we're sitting there, we're just kind of like laughing at how the salsa went everywhere, and then we look up, and there, splattered across the ceiling, is just all this freaking salsa, which I must say, I am ashamed to say, is still there, because I really never got around to cleaning it up. And, two or three years later, yeah, the salsa is still there. Oh, yeah, sure, I wiped it down a bit, and, I got rid of most of the salsa, and it got cleaned up from everywhere else, but, in order to actually clean up the rest of the salsa, I'd have to get the stepladder out, and collapse down everything in the gaming room and climb up there and, get out the 409 and try and scrub it off of the wall. So I just figured, it's just easier to leave it there until I actually have to repaint the room, which is something that I'm probably going to have to be doing in the not-too-distant future. So, anyway, it will eventually get cleaned. That is why you should not have salsa at the gaming table. I spend just a huge amount of time in the car commuting. It's about 2 hours every day. It can be upwards of like 3 or 4 if traffic's really bad in New Jersey. As a result, I am just always on the hunt for new podcasts. And since I've learned quite a few from listening to other people's shows, I figured I'd give a rundown of what I'm listening to. Now, I should forewarn you that a fair number of these were actually mentioned in a column I did on Nuketown recently. But since I know not everybody is listening to it, not everybody's reading the site who's listening to the show, I figured it would be a good time just to, give shout outs to everyone. Yeah, I'm just talking really great today, aren't I? What can I say? It's been a really freaking long week. My wife has a cold, and both she and my 2-year-old have pink eye. So it's just really been quite the adventure keeping up with those two, and you know, keeping everybody comfortable and keeping Jordan out of Sue's hair. And but anyway, so the first show I want to talk about isn't actually a podcast. It's Mortality Radio, which is a role-playing game show. It's primarily dedicated to Dungeons & Dragons, but they do venture into sci-fi and horror occasionally. Unfortunately, this show hasn't aired since January, but on the plus side, the archives are still online. And I understand that they're just having some technical snafus. I think if they're just on hiatus, so they should be back eventually. They've had some really great guests. I mean, really great guests. If you're into gaming, most of the major D20 publishers have visited their show, including Monty Cook with Malhotic Press, Bastion Press, The Game Mechanics, which includes a bunch of guys who used to work at WotC. I've found out a bunch of great products from listening to their show, including a lot of Bastion Press's stuff. So I really recommend, you know, I definitely recommend listening to them once the show's back up, but even not, definitely go to their site, which is at www.mortality.net, and download the archive shows. They have everything up there, I think, from the beginning, so you're talking about, like, about 2 years worth of shows, and each show is about an hour to an hour and a half in length, so there's a lot of great audio content sitting out there just waiting to be found. Another show that I've mentioned before is, I mentioned earlier in this podcast actually, is The Dragon Page. They publish two shows. The first is Winging It, which is their podcast. And, I guess technically both of these are podcasts. But this is their more laid-back, casual-type show. It's more just conversations between the two guys. And the other one is Cover to Cover, which is actually a radio show that they also podcast, where they talk about science fiction books, news happenings, that sort of thing. Both of them are really good. I enjoy listening to both. I prefer Winging It just because it's a much more casual show. It's laid back. I just like hearing the two guys chatting back and forth. Cover to Cover is much more of a newsy kind of stuff. And, for some reason, when it comes to sci-fi, and I'm listening to podcasts, I'd much rather just listen to people talking about sci-fi and hearing their opinions. They do that in Cover to Cover, but it's not the same. I think the biggest thing, though, is that Winging It is just the more casual show, and something about me just responds to that. One of the shows that they've recently been promoting is Mer Lafferty's Geek Fug Action Grip. During the show, Mer spends the first, 10-15 minutes just kind of talking casually, and then she launches into basically, I guess you could describe it as an audio essay about a given subject. Mer's just I really enjoyed it. She's tackled a bunch of topics that I find really entertaining, including her first time getting punched in the nose while she was doing martial arts. It's some stuff about her daughter. She has a daughter who's she's not much older than mine. She's still less than three, so I think mine's two. Sounds like hers is about two and a half. And just, you know, as a geek parent, I always love listening to other people talking about, you know, how they're dealing with the same things that I'm dealing with my kid. Another comic strip, and by the way, all the addresses for this will be in the show notes. I don't have the addresses in front of me right now, so just hit the site and you'll be able to find the URLs for all this good stuff. Digital Strips is a strip I listened to. Digital Strips is a strip I heard about through Comicology. I think I mentioned it before. Basically, every week they do a rundown of the web-based comic strips and comic books that that they found and that they're enjoying. Really good podcasts. Sorry, a little burp there. I'll have to go back and... screw it. I'm not editing anything out of this one. We're doing it raw, guys. But anyway, they do a weekly rundown of the strips that they like. I found a lot of good stuff listening to this podcast, and I wholeheartedly recommend it. Another one that I recommend is MattCast. This is a 30 to 40 minute podcast that offers a rundown of basically the Mac news from the previous day or maybe two or three days. I really like this show. Paradoxically to the sci-fi stuff, I actually like getting my rundown of Mac news in podcast form. What I really like about this show is the length, 30 to 40 minutes. It's got a good mix of news and advice. I've listened to a lot of Mac radio shows over the years, like Inside Mac Radio is another one. And what I like about this is that it is fairly short. I can easily listen to it in in one commute, and I can maybe sneak in another podcast. So, and plus, it's very entertaining. Another good podcast for Mac users is My Mac Guys, which two guys talking about their Macs, solving problems, talking about Mac news. It's much more of a commentary type thing than the MacCast, and it complements it really well. And while I'm talking about the Mac, My Mac Guys, I found their podcast by listening to the Podcast Shuffle, which is a really cool idea. Basically, you subscribe to the Podcast Shuffle feed, and it randomly serves up a different feed every day. Now, theoretically, this is kind of like the Open Podcast Directory, but I didn't really like the Open Podcast Directory feed because it dumps so much stuff into iTunes. I could never figure out exactly where it was coming from, and there were all these different little files, and I would just sit there and go, where the heck did this come from? Oh, yes, the Open Podcast Directory. So anyway, the nice thing about Podcast Shuffle is that it's only serving up one podcast to you with every download. So it's a little more manageable than the Open Podcast Directory, yet it's still giving you exposure to those new podcasts. So I'm really enjoying it a lot. I definitely, if you check out nothing else from this particular podcast, I would definitely go and see Podcast Shuffle. All right, the last thing I wanted to talk about on this podcast is a website called geezergamers.com. Those of you who read Nuketown will have heard me talk about these guys before. Basically, this is probably one of the best gaming sites that I have ever found in my entire life. Yes, it's really that good. GeezerGamers.com is basically, it's an online community. And a lot of people, well, I shouldn't say a lot of people, but there seems to be this thread that pops up every once in a while, like on CNN and Fox News, where people are railing against technology because they think that it's destroying communities or that it's causing people to tune out and not connect to other people. And I think, when I read something like that, I think about GeezerGamers. Geezer Gamers is a community website for people, well, older gamers, you know, people like me, people who are like in their late 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, I think there's even one or two people on there who are in their 60s, who love games, who aren't about to give up playing Xbox Live just because they're 30, but are kind of tired of playing with 12-year-olds. It's not to say that playing with 12-year-olds can't be fun, but, you know, it's something else entirely when you're sitting down and you're playing with people who know what it's like to have to throw down the controller to go kiss a boo-boo, or to change a diaper, or because there is some scream that has just been let out by a kid in the background and you need to go figure out what just happened. These are also people who know what it's like to be married, who know what it's like to have a mortgage, to, you know, basically to just have to juggle the job, the family, the spouses, and I say spouses because we have plenty of women geezer gamers there as well. And it's just basically a really wonderful community. I found out about it back in, I guess, in early December when Bungie.net had an interview with one of the Geezer founders on their website. And I, like hundreds of other newbie geezers, showed up at the site and immediately said, wow, this is really, really cool. I can't wait to play with these guys. Then I actually played with the guys, and oh my god, it was great. I mean, it's like the community is geared almost entirely towards playing Xbox Live games. And to tell you the truth, I had gotten to the point with playing Xbox Live and playing specifically Halo 2 that I was just sick of going out into matchmaking and meeting these random people who were just, let's be honest, 90% of them were just freaking idiots, you know. So you unplug the headset and you just shoot stuff, you know, and the whole community thing just kind of falls by the wayside. That having been said, so I was getting kind of desperate, you know. I'm not about to actually give up Live because a couple of my friends had it, and, you know, we would game online occasionally, but I was nearly getting to the point where I wasn't going to play it as much. And then I find Geezer Gamers. And these are just a great bunch of men and women who love to game. And it can actually be a bad thing, because when I first found out about Geezer Gamers, I was having so much fun that I was staying up till like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning almost every night. Which, you know, isn't necessarily the brightest idea when you have to get up and go to work the next day. Of course, we were all suffering, so, you know, at least we were all in the same boat there.
eventually things calmed down. Now I play with the geezers, you know, maybe once, maybe every other night. But it's just, it's really fun to be able to jump on with a bunch of people who are in a similar situation, who take their gaming seriously, but not too seriously. You know, just want to have a lot of fun. It's a great way to kill an hour or two. It's a great way to relax, you know, after the baby's in bed, and, you know, you get out your beer and just kind of sit there and relax and chill and talk to your friends and, you know, just have a freaking blast. So if you've got Xbox and you've got Xbox Live and you want to play with a bunch of people who really love to game and who might fall into a little older demographic, I wholeheartedly recommend checking out Geezer Gamers. It will change your gaming life. Well, folks, that's about it for this week's Radioactive. This week was a bit more of an experiment. I tried to do a little less notes this time and try to put a little more energy in it. Hopefully that doesn't translate into the levels being completely screwed up. I'm also making a conscious effort not to to micromanage this thing and try not to go back and edit every single freaking mistake. I really like the podcasts are a little more organic, so I'm not going to go nuts and try and delete out every and screw up that I made in this thing. But, you know, if you think I should, if you have some comments, if you have some thoughts on what I should be doing with this podcast, I would love to hear them. You can send them to nuketown@gmail.com. Audio comments are welcome. If I get them, I'll be sure to run them on the show. So until next week, have fun, guys.